Good morning, good morning, good morning, everyone. I have a special guest here with us this morning, Dr. Rankins from Restoration Church in Pensacola, Florida. Great man of God. I'm just so honored to have him here with us on set this morning. And so let's get into this interview. Glad to be a part. Glad you come to join us this morning.
Absolutely. Good morning, Bishop. I'm so glad to be here. I have looked forward so very much to this interview, man.
Yeah, it's great. And I think we're going to have a great time. So I'm excited about what God is doing in your life as well as in my life. And it's been, you know, we just kind of met through a men's conference and man, we just kind of hit it off. And
so it's synergy, as they say, when we met. I was so blessed by your ministry and just to hear you preach the word. It was just a phenomenal day. And then to see your edifice just really, really was a blessing in the city of Atmore.
Yeah, that's great. And so, and that's how we came to this point of, you know, reaching out to each other, talking about some things in ministry. And I was just so inspired by you as well, man of God. And so here we are today. And so we're going to get into, we have several questions. We're going to let the man of God get started here. And so our first question is, you know, tell us about how long you've been in ministry and tell us about Restoration Church in Pensacola, Florida. And the second question where we can go into it is, you know, please discuss the transformational ministry and what does it mean in 2023?
Well, it seems like I've been ministering forever, but I know I haven't. I started preaching in 1995. I was actually licensed and ordained under the late Dr. Nathaniel Smith from Antioch Baptist Church here in Pensacola, Florida. Okay. I grew up actually at the church. We moved from New Jersey in 1972. And so Antioch is my home. I still consider it my home church. And then from there, I started pastoring in 1996 at the Edward Point Christian Church, actually in Century, Florida. I pastored there for a year before God just pressing on my heart to birth my own ministry. And it was Restoration Church in 1997. And I'm very proud to say 27 years later, here we are, you know, still standing through the ups, through the downs, through the turns, the cycles. When I started that ministry, you know, this is just an inside joke, Bishop, I always tell people, if I knew then what I know now, I never would have started a church because you know, I was young. Yeah, Bishop, right. I was young. I was fresh. I was, you know, whatever God said do, I just did it. I kind of jumped in the water and didn't realize, you know, sharks were in there or anything like that. And that's blind faith. And I think that's good. Right. But over the years, you know, you've matured and you've learned, you've learned the good, the bad, the ugly. Ministry are all those things. There aren't going to be a bed of roses all the time. There's seasonal moments where you really, really are enjoying the fruit of your labor. And then there are seasons where you don't see any fruit. You know, you preaching and you ministering and you call it down the anointing and you don't see anything. People ain't joining your church. They're joining everywhere else. But then there's a season, Bishop, where it all comes into focus and you just have to appreciate those things. And so I'm very proud of Restoration Church. It is a non-denominational ministry. People from all walks of life. You know, you come in there one way and I'm a firm believer the anointing that's present in that ministry still remains and you don't leave the same, not at all.
Wow, that's great. And so how long has the church been there in Pensacola?
27 years. 27 years. We actually started 25 years. 25 years. I've been preaching for 27 years. But this was our 25th anniversary. We started actually in 1997, May, the first Sunday in May of 1997. So this upcoming year, we'll be going into our 26th year. And I'm now 51 years old, and they have grown with me. I've grown with them. You know, I've seen people come. I've seen people go. But we have been fortunate to have that core group of people that heard God say, this is my church, and they're still there. And I thank God for that.
That's awesome, man of God. So let's get into our third question, and then we're gonna see the Lord, see what he has to say. You know, our third question is, you know, and so the impact, with the kingdom impact message. You said, I believe that ministry should be a life altering or mm-hmm. with kingdom impact messages that would change the trajectory of someone's life, you know? And the question is, where is today's church in relationship to winning souls for Christ? And so those two questions are very, very powerful, man.
Yeah, very powerful question. First, I will say this. I think that the relevant church, Bishop, of 2023, as we ascend into the new year, the relevant church in 2023 must be in position to be out of the box mindset, must have an out of the box mindset, must move beyond the four walls. If you remain just in the mentality of our 11 o'clock worship service, this no more, you're going to miss the masses of souls that God has for the church. And I believe that there was a season where we were content with our ministries inside the building, ministering 11 o'clock worship, all that. But then something called COVID hit. And when COVID hit, it forced us out of the physical building and took us into technology and took us into Zoom and took us into Facebook, social media, and all these wonderful things that I believe that God intended for us to grow into. Right. And we might not have done that prior to. And so if we're truly going to be a life-altering ministry, we've got to do what the apostles did. We got to go get them. We got to be there for them, not as an established building or an edifice, but moving beyond those four walls. And so that's where I feel is the greatest need now and the most relevancy of a ministry now in kingdom impact. And when you're talking about ascending to the next level, the first thing is soul winning. I mean, that's just it.
Yes. And so true. Yeah, because I got a friend of mine, George Sanders, and he's the president of Daily Gospel Network. Mm-hmm. And he was telling me, you know, the game has changed. You know, COVID changed the whole game. Like,
oh,
you said.
Yes, indeed.
And so we come into this technology, you know, a multimedia marketing type ministry, you know. Mm-hmm. And so the skill set that we need to operate on that level, man, like you said, you know, we got to retrain ourselves.
In
this season that we're living in, and so I'm so thankful, man. It's you got to get into this market. I mean, you really don't have a choice. I mean,
and Bishop, you're doing it, and the phenomenal thing is, you know, ministering messages. You know, we've been taught to preach to those that are there in that building, but true ministry now on the cutting edge of ministry. You know, you got to have a mindset and a mentality that you're not preaching to 50 to 100 people. You're preaching to literally millions, the potential of millions of people that will tune in on your social media or on a platform such as this. That could be just phenomenal. You're exponential. I mean, just the numbers, you know, it's limitless, really.
Yeah, it is. And so that platform is so powerful, you know. And so what I was able to do that God blessed me through George Sanders is the programs that he had offered, you know, and offered it to me because I just got invited. I got an invite, I think, by divine appointment. And so when I got the invite, man, when I clicked in, when I logged in on the site, what I was hearing, I said, man, this is what I've been looking for. This is transformational ministry because God is taking some, a man of God and you know, into what he's flowing into. And now he's transforming the minds of ministers like myself and showing us how to work this technology and be efficient in kingdom blessing. And what it does is transcends into the church members as well. So it's a multicultural idea that's transforming into the church that's causing wealth and income and increase to come into the body of Christ. Because until we get educated in these areas and begin to understand how these areas work, like Facebook, Instagram, you know, Facebook been around for a while, but people have been making millions of dollars in it. But here we are, man, we literally, you know, we just standing on the sideline, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Then when somebody has the ability to train and show you and teach you and you see the investment opportunity, you have to step in that into that moment. Because why? God is sending a raven, and sometimes the raven comes, you know, it don't look like the bird that you want to receive.
You better believe it now. Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And so here you are, you know, you got to know that God is doing a new thing, man. And so this is a season for great revival, just like you said. And so we have to go back to the benchmark of being reeducated.
Yes, absolutely.
Wow. So let's go into our fourth question, and then we'll see here. We're going to talk about our fourth question. You know, I heard that you're also a national gospel recording artist, and who recently recorded a single entitled "He Has a Plan for You." You know, and also video. You know, can you tell us a little bit more about the project and how it came about?
Well, I've been singing since I was 5 years old. My mom had me in the junior choir at Antioch before I could really read, but I started singing, and then at 11 years old, the gift of being able to play the piano was discovered. I can play songs, just hear it one time and can play by ear, and so that is truly a gift. And so I've done several different projects over the years of singing, ministering, a couple CDs that we recorded. But recently, I just recorded He Has a Plan for You, the remix. I had recorded this particular song several years ago after going through a personal tragedy in my life, really going through some serious storms in my life. And God just began to minister to me that He has a plan for you. It's tailor-made for you. And so the lyrics speak volumes of anybody that has ever been at a place in their life, Bishop, where they really felt that they just couldn't go on, didn't have a purpose, didn't have a plan, or if they were up in ministry and they fell from the grace, they didn't fall from the grace of God, only man. And I think that a lot of times when people discount you or write you off, God says, no, I still want to use him. I still want to use her. And so that song was re-released summer of this year. It is now on YouTube. The video is just phenomenal. If you go on YouTube, you just put in the title, He Has a Plan for You by Bishop Leon Rankins III, and it will come up, the video as well as the song itself. We actually recorded the video on scene at our church. So you'll see a church scene that was actually recorded at Restoration Church in Pensacola. And then we did different scenes. We had a funeral scene. We recorded that at Joe Morris Funeral Home, and drug scene. I mean, it is a phenomenal video.
Wow.
I'm not just bragging because I did it, but I am saying it was well produced. The song was actually produced by Todd Delaney's production company. Very good music.
He has a plan
for you. Absolutely.
He has a plan for you. Oh, wow, man. That's awesome. Bishop Leon Rankins, you know, he has a plan for you.
The remix.
Oh, the remix. And so you got to put that in. You go to YouTube, right?
You can do that. Or you can Google it. He has a plan for you. It'll come up. But YouTube. Okay. It's just a phenomenal song.
Wow. Yeah. And so I'm just typing that in because I want to put it up so people can see it, you know.
Okay.
And so go talk a little bit about the process of doing that, you know. The place, the connections, and talk a little bit, because I feel like there's so many people in the church that have these gifts and talents, but don't have the wherewithal to produce and go to the next level.
Well,
because
I tell
sometimes
you,
I think it's budget and money, but
it is. It's a conglomeration of all those things. The music industry, as they say, is very complex. I still believe that if God is with you in your music ministry and his timing, he will make it work. And I've been out here for a long time and, singing and recording. And sometimes you only get local play or you get regional play. And so the goal is to have national and international play. And so I really, really, I encourage any vocalist that's trying to get on a national and an international level not to give up, keep going, you know, stay on it. Don't miss it. You know, it like you say, it may not come when you want it, but he's always on time. And so I believe that the right connections, God will give us that when it's time. And who, somebody may be watching this broadcast now, may be listening out, may pull up my song and want me to come share a word or share a song with them. I travel, you know, go online, www.leonrankinsministries.org. That's okay. That is my website. And so that is the premise of what we try to do to get that message out. It's not about for me being famous now. In my younger years, that's what my goal was, to get discovered, you know what I'm saying? Get to be famous where everybody know you and you sign an autograph. But the more spiritual mature that I got, it's less about being famous, but more about being kingdom impactful. And I want to reach millions of people through my music and through my preaching. And so that is what they do. People will seek to keep you localized or try to dismiss what God is doing in your life. And that's okay on them. You just make sure that you have the inner drive to be persistent and press forward, and God will do it.
Hey, talk a little bit about that kingdom, what you just said about being a kingdom impact ministry, and so knowing that what God has called you to sometimes is bigger than what you see.
And it is.
If you keep looking at where you are, you'll never visualize where God is calling you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, when we talk about the kingdom, Bishop, most people automatically go to the church. Yeah. And the church is a part of the kingdom. The kingdom encompasses so many other things. Outreach, evangelism, the local church, music ministry, you name it. The kingdom is huge and it's big. And so if you're going to be a kingdom impactful ministry, life-changing and life-altering, you got to change your mindset. And you got to change your mindset from the local 11 o'clock worship service. It's not that only. That is only a part, a minuscule part, a small part of the broad kingdom of what God wants us to do, transforming lives. And so everybody's not going to come to your church. Let's just keep it real. Everybody ain't coming in the building. Everybody, and that does not mean Uncle so-and-so that don't come is not saved. That doesn't mean that. We got to take the salvation to him. We got to take the word of God to him and make sure that he accepts the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I think that is the challenge that we will have in this new turn. It's happening right now. And so I don't ever want to be guilty of preaching just to my folk and no more. I want to say that God, I want to do what the apostles did, to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. On the highways and the byways and the hedges, in the good places, the bad places, the ugly places, downtown, uptown, midtown. That's what I want to do, Bishop.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And also that's a great place to be. And so when you understand that, when people begin to see it and begin to know what God has for them, you know. Yes. And so here we are, you know, understand that transformational ministry is a place that God has already deigned for all of us.
Yes.
But to step into your calling, to understand that the plan God has for you, sometimes you have not seen what he has for you because you got to press in, and that pressing in, and sometimes some obstacles may be there,
but
you cannot let the obstacles be the thing that hinders and block you from moving forward. And so that's why you got to have seasonal opportunities, and you come in, because you got to be inspired to move on. You just like you talk about all the hindrances, all the blockages. But when you know that you are called and anointed by God, that's the thing that triggers us to go into the place and the plan and wait on God in that place of preparation.
And it is a level of faith. Yeah, and it's definitely a level of faith, because it's easy to say I'm getting ready to step out. It's easy, but you got to really have that level of faith to say, God, I know where I am. I always tell Restoration Church in Pensacola, amen, I know where Savanti Street is, I know where Fairfield is, I know where the interstate is, I know where Cordova Mall is. You can anything in Pensacola, I know where it is, because I've been here all my life. But when you start stepping out into another realm, Going to new cities, you got to learn the traffic, got to learn the exits, you got to learn where this is, where that Walmart is, you got to learn this. That is faith. That is faith. It's moving beyond what you know and stepping into a new realm of what you don't know. But you got to know that just like God is in Pensacola, God is everywhere else. So the same level it took me to get here where I am in Pensacola, he's there when I get to Atlanta. He's there when I get to Chicago. He's there when I get to Philadelphia. He's there. And he ain't going to let nothing bad happen because I'm following his will.
That's right. I got one little other little tidbit because we're going there. When you was in Pensacola when the Brownsville revival was
oh yeah, 1995. Yeah. You better believe it. I was working at Gayfer's, the Town and Country Plaza, and it hit hard. Yes, sir.
Yeah. And I went down there several times myself. As a matter of fact, I guess last month me and my wife went to eat in Malbus. And at the Sticks, I think the Sticks restaurant down there. Mm-hmm. And also, when we walked in, man, John Kilpatrick was sitting in front of us, you know, eating with his family.
Yeah.
And so I asked him and Steve Hill when they were there, man. I went down there several times. They laid hands upon me. You know, the joy of the Lord, the laughter of the Spirit, and the power of the Holy Ghost, man. Yeah. It was an outpouring.
It was.
Oh, man, I feel it right now.
If you didn't witness it, I mean, you missed it. I mean, it was phenomenal. And I was a young pastor at the time, but I attended several of those meetings. Phenomenal, man. Phenomenal.
Yeah. And so he was there. And so our waiter came up and I started to say something. I started saying, sit us close by this guy, you know, but I didn't say anything. So I was waiting on the Lord, because what happened was the Lord inspired me. He said, why don't you go down Sunday and eat down at that restaurant? And so my wife was outside talking to my sister-in-law, and she was saying, I'm my ex-pastor to take me down to eat at the restaurant. And I was like, wow. And when we got through it talking, she said, well, let's go down there. And I said, well, I just told Benjamin that, and you just told Bridget. And so by divine appointment, we were walking, the man of God is there. And so when we got, the guy seated us right in front of him. And so I got to meet him and talk to him again and, you know, kind of explain, you know, where I came from and who I was. And so he prayed with us. And so the transformation of ministry and by divine appointment is so powerful, man. And God will place you in places that his divine purpose and plan, you know, because by the laying on of hands, the importation of ministry. You know, I call it a point of contact where faith is relief and importation takes place.
Yes, sir.
So we are here today, and I'm so grateful and so honored to be a part of what God is doing in this season. So let's go to our last question, and let's bring it up, you know. And question number 5, what inspired you to continue to carry and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ?
First, my two sons. I have a 19-year-old. I mean, yeah, 19-year-old and a 17-year-old. And when I look at their lives, and they're on the beginning, the cusp of their lives, and starting out, that inspires me to keep going into ministry, because I want their lives to be better than mine. I want their opportunities to be better. And my wife and I both have taught them. You do nothing without the Lord. I mean, everything that you do, whether it's school, your job, your work, whatever, you don't do anything without the Lord. And so that's a personal inspiration. On a broader scale, what keeps me going, souls. You know, when I'm in the truck, you know, I'm driving up the street and I see people, their souls are crying out. And some of these people, Bishop, these are people who have been churched before. These are not non-church people, but people are tired of the games. They're tired of the hustle. They're tired of the bustle. They just want the word of God. Just give me the word. I don't need you to try to sugarcoat it. I don't need you to now water it down. I don't need you to try to mimic it. I don't need you to try to do. All I need you to do is to give me the revelatory word of instruction to help me live the life according to the word of God. And so when I die, my salvation is secured. I know who I'm going to see at the very end. And I think when you do that, that's what inspires me. It encourages me. There have been people who have come and gone in our ministry and are at other churches and other ministries. And I think leaders, they miss it when they think these are our folk. these are my people. No, brother, these are not your people. These are just simply who God has entrusted you with for this season. And I think when you get to that mindset, Bishop, I think you've gotten there. You've gotten it. These are only God's people who God has entrusted us to lead and be privy to minister the gospel. So those are the things that inspire me. You know, number one, souls, you know.
Mm-hmm. Number one, souls. Let's take a little break, 30-second break. I'm going to throw in a little commercial here, and then we'll come back. And then that put us by about our 25-minute mark, and then we'll continue.
Have you been looking for clarity and discernment about God's calling on your life? Understanding God's Call, Follow Your Calling, written by Wayne Johnson, will help you walk in your calling to follow God's will and carry out your ministry service with ease and confidence. This book is filled with encouragement, inspiration, and direction. You can find Understanding God's Call, Follow Your Calling by Wayne Johnson on wjmstore.com or amazon.com.
So, Bishop, yes. This question here, I was just thinking about for like a new minister, somebody that started out like you started out and want to tap into the blessings and the anointing of God, you know, what would be some of the advice that you would give a young minister? Because, you know, they're excited about ministry, the call, yes. And so what would you say to somebody if I was that young guy? What would you say?
Yes. Oh, I love this question, Bishop. I would tell that young pastor, your motivation cannot be from the people. It's got to be from God, because people will come and people will go. And if you're motivated based on the wind of the people or based on the current thing or based on the most relevant thing, you're going to miss it, because you'll be excited for a moment. And then when the crowd leaves, you'll leave. Or when the applause stops, you'll stop. But when that motivation, Lord, I feel the spirit of the Lord on me. When that motivation is with you and God, Lord have mercy, Bishop. It doesn't matter if you have a packed house or two people there. You know that God called you to this, and you're not going to abandon. There are so many young pastors now that started with me. They're not even pastoring anymore. They threw in the towel, or because the people left their ministry, they left. Or because, their best friend came in and preached a revival and took half of the folks with them. They weren't a friend, you know, and so they lost it. But when you are committed to the word of God, to your calling, when I stood up in 1995 and I said, God called me to preach the gospel,
right,
and uh-huh. made a commitment to God and the people that came to hear me preach, I did not make that commitment conditionally. I didn't say, God, I'm going to go for you if the church pack, or God, I'm going to go for you as long as they give me a big honorarium. Lord, I'm going to go for you, as long as it's sunny outside. No. I promised the Lord. And so 27 years later, I'm a survivor, simply because my first motivation is from the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't put anything before God. My family doesn't come before God. Nope, nobody comes before the Lord. And so there are times when I get tired, I get weary, I get worn. But I will tell that young preacher, it gets better later. You know, it gets better later. You have moments, you have ups and downs, turns, valley moments, peak moments, but it gets better because you become more seasoned and you become more graced with his season, with his favor. And you just, as you mature as a pastor, things that you normally would have just messed you up 10 years ago or 20 years ago, because you become more seasoned and settled, you'll say, I didn't seen that spirit before. That ain't nothing, you know? And so you just come above that. And so be not weary and well doing. You shall reap if you faint not. Keep going, you know, keep moving. As a young pastor, when you're in your 20s right now, and I will say this and I'm gonna move on, but you stirred up something here, because I want to talk to that young pastor, that 23-year-old, that 24-year-old, that 25-year-old preacher that's getting all these invitations, and you're the hot ticket right now, and everybody loves you, and you on point, and you know, when you get invited, you're gonna bring about 100 folks, or you're gonna bring 80 folks, and they're gonna do that. Doesn't always last. And so you've got to have some longevity under your belt, Bishop, that regardless if they call you or not, that your consistency in ministry is not contingent on the latest fad or the latest wind of thing that's going on. Regardless of what's going on up the street, God, I made a commitment to you. And so you are a survivor because you are a sustainer, and God is the only one that can sustain you, you know? So you have to put your heart before him.
All right. Thank you for that. And that concludes our broadcast. It's been an honor today with Dr. Rankin, you know, and so we're so pleased and honored to be here today with him in Restoration Church of Pensacola, Florida. Great man of God. We're so honored to be with you. And also, man, we have a second interview that's going to be awesome as well. So this concludes the first part of our interview. And thank you, Dr. Rankin.
God bless you, Bishop.